First, let's welcome in audio-only listeners. Thank you for tuning in to the All 22 NFL Show. Again, you got Chris and Ray. Ray, switch it up. You have the Daily Show, and we're not doing a Daily.
Oh, tonight. I got the Daily. Whoops. Just keep it going. Don't mind me.
Everybody, if you haven't yet, like and subscribe. Right, hit subscribe to the podcast. Like the YouTube channel if you're watching on YouTube. If not, go rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts or Spotify wherever you're listening. But everybody, thanks for tuning in. Otherwise, we just reviewed the film of the top receivers of the draft class. You could go to YouTube to watch that. But we are now going to talk about the rankings of these players. Okay. And Ray, I had mentioned to you that I actually watched 15 guys, even though we just reviewed 8. I watched 15, and I wanted to start the conversation at those bottom tiers. You can throw in some stuff if you want to, but I don't expect you to have ranking for 15 guys. But I had a tier 5. Have ranking
for 4, so yeah.
Oh, this freaking guy. All right, well, tier 5 for me, I had Tez Johnson and Jalen Royals. Tez Johnson out of Oregon, Jalen Royals out of Utah State. Those are guys that, to me, I had questions if they could be NFL receivers or not, right? To me, when I watch the film, these are guys that are on the roster bubble. Tez Johnson definitely struggled with physicality. Also, didn't show speed like I expected him to with his size. So that definitely concerned me. Didn't win catches, didn't win quick either. So I saw that as like, hey, if he makes it in the NFL, he's really got to develop more as a route runner. And I didn't see that, right? Jalen Royals didn't see... I saw some good things from him, right? I had him at 14, just above Tez Johnson. I saw some good things, right? He did win routes. He did have some good physicality. I just didn't see any separation. And I also thought at his size, I'm not sure he's going to get the contested catch win rate that he got in college because he was playing against some less than ideal competition, right? It wasn't always against NFL talent. So those are two guys I just wanted to mention before I go into my tier 4. Elik Iomaner from Stanford was 13 for me. Xavier Restrepo from Miami was 12. Jack Besh from TCU was 11. And Jalen Noel from Iowa State was 10. Those guys all had kind of a similar thing in my mind, which is they could be good possession receivers, and you want them maybe as your third or fourth option in a receiving game. So I do think they're guys that are going to make rosters and probably see the field. And at their best, they're going to be one of those wide receiver threes for a team. Good possession guys. I think Iomaner and Besh, I saw slight separation issues, but I liked their size. Restrepo, he's a good route runner, and that's what he kind of like holds his game on. But everything else about his game is, to me, just like, not NFL ready. So I struggle to see him really making it unless he's, you know, again, his route running is just that good where he gets on the field that way. So again, maybe a wide receiver 4 on a team for me. And then Jalen Noel, I thought was the best of this group. I had him at 10. And I actually do see him getting on the field as a wide receiver 4 early. Also could be maybe a wide receiver 3 at some point. Good possession receiver. Don't know if you want to talk about any of those players before we get into kind of the bigger group that we discussed.
A couple of things. I mean, so Restrepo, everyone's talking about the 40, 4.8, what have you. Allegedly, it was because of a hamstring injury. I don't know whether that's true or if that's just something you say after you run a 4.8 when you're an undersized wide receiver. I certainly didn't have any caveats to my 40 when we last ran it, if you know, you know. But in any event, that's one thing. I think Jalen Noel, we're going to get into it. I won't ever say we watched the wrong Iowa State wide receiver, but I'm not sure we watched the best Iowa State wide receiver for this episode. I was a big fan of Jalen Noel, just the kind of guy that you want on your team, even if there's the game-breaking sort of dynamic traits that you typically expect from someone who would be drafted in the top 50 or 40 aren't there. And I'm not saying he will be drafted there. I'm just stating the things that you want to see in his game that aren't necessarily there. That guy's just a winner to me, man. He's just a winner. I was a big fan watching him. If I hadn't already known that you went like way over the quota for this episode as far as players who were supposed to watch and break down, I might have taken it upon myself to do it. But when I was halfway through of Higgins already, I was like, I'm just going to stick to the plan here. But I'm a big fan of Jalen Noel. I'll also say about Tez Johnson, he looks like someone who's just built for one-on-ones. Like, he had a phenomenal Big Ten championship game. And he's like if you're starting, if the NFL does, or the United States of America does the flag football team in like, is it 2030 or whatever it is, like he might be like a first round pick in that league, but he has to really tighten up things for the NFL. in order for his game to translate. And perhaps he may, right? I mean, we talk about that Oregon offense all the time and some of the things that you can kind of get away with playing in that offense that you can't in the pros, but people seem to adapt once they get to the pros. I wouldn't be shocked if he does adapt his game and he is successful because of that, because I've just seen, there's been too many times where I've seen flaws or absences in people's games and blind spots in their games from that Oregon offense. And they come into the NFL and they just don't skip a beat. It's just because they were being asked to do certain things in that offense where it's, you know, maybe it is a delayed release and they're allowing people to clear out space for him because he is pretty dynamic with the ball in his hands. And so he's doing all this finesse, almost like social media routes before he gets open because he's buying some time. So I could totally see that, but yeah, Jalen Noel, big fan.
Okay. So you probably have Jalen Noel over some of the guys we talked about today. Is that true?
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure.
Okay. All right. Well, you'll have to get into that. So I had a tier three, and it's two players in my tier three. It's Kyle Williams from Washington State, who we did watch the film on. So really quick for audio only listeners, Kyle Williams from Washington State. Washington State, right? 5'11", 190 pounds, played over 2,800 career snaps, 4-4 at the combine. So really fast receiver, 79.9 offensive grade, 82.1 receiving grade, and over 3,600 career yards, 29 touchdowns. So this is very productive receiver with a lot of experience under his belt. He was a really fun receiver to watch. Very quick, great shift. And I think that there's still unlocked potential, which is interesting considering how much kind of experience he has. But maybe Washington State not being a powerhouse school, maybe didn't get the coaching to really give him the best of the best that he could have had. So maybe there is more to unlock there. And I think his route running is really where it begins, right? I saw a lot of quick game. I saw a lot of just get this guy the ball, a lot of deep routes. That's it. Not anything else besides that. So it's hard for me to rank a guy higher than that without seeing that full tree. So very raw prospect in terms of route running ability, very raw route tree. So for me, this is where I start to go, okay, if you're at the end of the third round in an NFL draft, in all 22 draft, you're talking about sixth or seventh round, and you want to take a flyer on a guy like this because you think that speed element is going to be dangerous. I get it. Somebody has compared him. I heard Mike Renner compare him to Darnell Mooney, right? So good receiver that got a second contract. That's, you know, a good thing to get if you're, you know, in the third or fourth round of an NFL draft. So solid player, right? So good comparison there. And then the other guy is the other Iowa State receiver that you just reviewed, pulling up his information really quick. But I had Jaden Higgins right in front of him at number eight. So Jaden Higgins, Iowa State, 22 years old, 6'4", 214 pounds, 31 1/8 inch arms, 2,400 career snaps, did not participate at the combine, but a 90.3 overall grader with over 3,300 career yards and 28 touchdowns. So this is a guy that, to me, just not afraid to be physical. I thought he was very smooth in and out of his cuts. I know some of the plays you showed didn't show that at that top level, but I really saw it in other games where he does have good route running and good smoothness to his game, especially for somebody being 6'4", 215. Gets good separation without a lot of athleticism in his frame. I thought he had good body control at the catch point, which is what you want for a 6'4 receiver. And I actually liked his release package a bit more than I expected, again, for a guy his size. But I don't think he has any yak ability. I don't think he has great speed, and that's going to be an issue at the next level for a guy his size and the way that he wins. But I would have no problem with a team, taking a chance on this guy at the end of the second round or the early third round. If you're saying, I need a big bodied guy, right? If you're talking about the Chargers at the beginning or middle of the third round or, you know, late second round, trading back into the second round or something, and you're telling me that they could pair this guy with Ladd McConkey, you already have a guy that could be your mega possession receiver. Go add a 6'4", 215 pound receiver that you could get at the end of the second round, early third round. And again, in the all 22 draft, that means you're probably getting them in round four or five. But I kind of get taking a chance on a guy like this if that's a huge need for you. So I liked him maybe more than you did.
You definitely did. And to that scenario you just laid out, for that, I'll wait till the end of the third, maybe into the fourth, for someone like Savion Williams out of TCU, 6'4", 220-ish pounds as a big-bodied player, who I just liked a bit more. But I'll say Jalen Noel to me, and in going through my bottom tier here, I had, starting from eight up, and I think it's really now nine up, but Higgins, Williams, Noel. So in reverse order. So that would be Noel above Williams, Williams above Higgins. So Jalen Noel, Kyle Williams, and then Jaden Higgins. And I think what's interesting to me about specifically Noel versus Williams is I felt like what Kyle Williams kind of lacked on the margins of his game is exactly what Jalen Noel brought to the game. You mentioned the spatial awareness, the ability to really settle and then kind of turn up field to make things just easier for your quarterback and easier on your offense based on the design of the play. I feel like Noel did those little things right, and that's what kind of endears him to coaches and why people like him so much and why I think his stock is on the rise right now. So it's like, yeah, I understand sort of the dynamic traits and what you like about Kyle Williams' game, and I also like about Kyle Williams' game. But those little things just kind of sold me a bit from Noel to have him above him. But same tier, like you kind of mentioned, they're all in that same tier. But I would have Noel above him.
Yeah, I had them all very, very close. So the next guy on the list is the guy that we did not watch the film. And I had him at 7. And I hear a lot of bad press. So I wanted to get the scoop. If you could give me the tea, tell me what is up with Isaiah Bond. Okay, because when I watched this guy's film, there was some of the best route runs I've seen of any of the prospects. There was one post corner against UTEP that, again, was one of the best routes I saw of any prospect. The separation he got on the route was phenomenal. The head fake, all of it was just fantastic. And he didn't even get thrown the ball on the play. But I thought his play speed, you know, people were talking about the bad 40 time. I get it. But his play speed is insane. It's super quick. Good hands. I saw good hands from him. Good flexibility. I like the way that they used him on the offense as well. They played him all over the place. Obviously, he's a little small, but there was so much that I watched and I said, I feel like I'm kind of watching like a knockoff, maybe slightly worse version of like Jalen Waddle.
So Isaiah Bond is a wide receiver in pretty much every sense off the field. So I have something I like to call like wide receiver brain. Apparently he has wide receiver brain. Which a lot of great wide receivers do. So that's not something that would typically bug me because they're wide receivers. This is what they do. But apparently that's been a thing throughout the pre-draft process that teams are knocking him for. I wonder how he'll hold up in the NFL. He seems kind of slight to me and kind of gets like bumped around a little bit. And I wonder how he holds up when you take that step up in the NFL. There's been too many guys that run really fast and play really fast, but then when they start getting knocked around like a bumper car in the NFL, it just doesn't translate. And that might be the concern with Bond. And then when you just kind of look across the formation and you see Matthew Golden, who we're going to get into here later on, it's like, well, I want that guy. And I think that plays a part into it too. So I wouldn't be shocked to see Isaiah Bond go off the board day 3 based on some of that stuff, even if, hey, some of the play speed and everything else, you would think he would belong otherwise in day 2.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. So like watching the film, I saw a day 2 receiver and it reminded me, and based on what you're saying, reminds me of the receiver the Bengals drafted last year. Trying to remember what his name is. Burton?
Jermaine Burton, yeah.
Jermaine Burton, right? Like won all the routes. I saw a really good, I saw a really good receiver on film. And then it's like, oh, but he's a nightmare off the field and people can't stand him. It's like,
allegedly.
Okay.
I mean, this is just, this is what we hear. I'm not
right. Right. Okay. All right. Where would you have him in your rankings?
I'd probably have him just above Higgins. I'd probably have him at the bottom of that last tier we just discussed because I have worry and I can find fast guys. I'll find a fast guy.
All right. So now we're getting into the tier. So my number 6 receiver, basically 6 down, are all guys I could see teams selling you should be in the first round conversation. I don't necessarily believe that, but I could understand the argument, right? Number 6 for me is Trey Harris from Ole Miss, 23 years old. So a little bit of an older prospect, but 6'2", 205 pounds, 2,200 snaps in college, 4.54 40 time, grading 89.7 offensive grade, 3,500 career yards and 29 touchdowns. So this is an uber productive receiver, good size, good speed, good athleticism. But when you watch the film, right, the speed is actually a threat for him. It's not just a 40 time. He is a real speed threat. He could take the top off in any situation. But even beyond that, he's a better route runner than I expected and very much more advanced than a lot of the guys that we watched today. Breaks down his hips really well, gets separation, finds blind spots, all things that I want from a receiver that I'm taking a chance on day 2 or maybe day 1, but doesn't have the surest hands, doesn't always give max effort on every play. And while he does run good routes and runs them efficiently and with a lot of nuance, it's not a super diverse route tree, right? Which is concerning, but also something you expect when you see a guy used as kind of that big man deep threat. So I kind of understood it. But to me, it's like, okay, my number six prospect, I want him as a day two guy. I would have no problem taking him between maybe picks 40 and 60. But also, again, I could see an NFL team going, this is something our team is really missing, and it's the end of day one, and I want to take a chance on a guy like this. I could totally see that.
Yeah, you just described Alshon Jeffrey, and it's like, okay, are we going to get like the really good Alshon Jeffrey before we got the really bad Alshon Jeffrey, like with one random kind of good season in there late type of deal? Like what do you get there? And that's a concern with some of these Ole Miss guys because of that offense as well. So yeah, you just described Alshon Jeffrey. I have him ranked there too, but when it comes to sort of selecting a player that high, I wouldn't take him quite that high because of the risk at a premium position like wide receiver. I'll let someone else take that chance before, to me, round three. So top 60 picks, someone else is going to draft him. 60 and onward in the third round, I'm on that all day. But there's just a bit too much risk there in that profile, that archetype, for my liking early on. So again, all 22, those first four or five rounds, I'm probably staying away. But after that, after round pick, you know, 55, 60-ish, then he's right there in the wheelhouse for me.
Okay. So in your rankings, is he at the top of the guys that we've currently talked about?
Yes. Everyone we discussed, he's still the highest name. I feel like I'm missing one name in my notes app here. So I'll recognize it when you say it, and then I'll just slot it in accordingly. But of the names we've talked about so far, yes.
Okay. So I've been talking a lot. Why don't you tell me who you have next on your list?
This is why I think I'm missing one, but Ibuka's the next one on my list, which was fourth on this list.
Okay.
So there might be a name in there that should slot in between these two, but that's what I have right now. So fourth overall in this wide receiver class for me is Emeka Ibuka. And it's pretty much how you broke him down. I mean, he does so many little things right. Catches with his hands. He finds the space. He can run by coverage, and he'll take exactly what the defense gives him and some more. He's just a solid player who does so much right. But he is missing that little bit of, I don't know if it's twitch or fluidity or what, but just that little bit that kind of explains why he was never the top dog at Ohio State. Yes, it was Marvin Harrison Jr. there, and there was now Jeremiah Smith. But that little bit of just dynamic, it seems like twitch or fluidity to me, I think is just missing, which is perfectly fine. He could be the best quote unquote wide receiver too in the NFL because he's very good at everything. It's just sometimes he can't shake off some tight coverage and that can get him into some trouble. So that puts him down at four for me, but a heck of a player, and he makes any team better.
So you definitely are missing somebody because I have him next as well, but I have him at five. So that means I have four guys above him, and you must be missing one of those guys because there's a bunch of good ones, right? But I was surprised, honestly, because when I went into this exercise and what I had seen kind of in watching college film, I really liked Ibuka for 2-3 years now, and I expected to have him closer to the top of the list. But having him at five, a lot of the reasons you said, right? I think positives, really quick winner, reliable hands, finds space super well, super mature in that regard. Sharp routes. He's a good route runner, runs sharp routes. Obviously, the experience is phenomenal. He's seen as a leader on that team. But when you're talking about what is he actually going to be at the next level, I'm trying to remember the guy's name. And I know I drafted him in one of our dynasty leagues, and it was a complete flop, but it was a guy that I really liked.
I mean, don't say N'Keal Harry.
No. Because I got him in the second round of one of our drafts. It'll come to me. Anyway, it was more of a guy in like the Terry McLaurin mold. Maybe an Ohio State guy. I'm trying to remember. No, TCU guy?
TCU, Josh Doctson?
No. All right. Anyway, we're going to move past it. Yeah. But there was something about that guy's game, right? Where I said, this guy looks like he has everything, but he doesn't have the bend. but because he's so mature and he runs good routes, I'm going to trust it that at the next level, he's going to be able to use all of that to become a high-end receiver. But because he didn't have the bend, he never really met that at all, right? And I think now he's kind of fluttered around the league. But to me, it's like, I think he's better than that. I think he'll definitely be better than that. But will he ever get to that level of, hey, I want him to be like a legit number one receiver for my team, like I kind of thought he would be? No. So to me, it's like, okay, I'm drafting him to be a number two receiver, and what I think that value is, I do think that a team will take him at the end of the first round. I don't know if his talent is first round talent. I kind of had him as like, again, I'd feel much more comfortable taking a receiver like this at the beginning of the second round, knowing that he has the experience and the leadership ability puts him there. And if he didn't have that, I might say it's even further back.
He's just got an incredibly high floor, I still think. He's going to make a GM feel very safe in a draft class where there's not a lot of prospects without question marks. So he's going to go pretty high. And he might grade very well, even if he's not a dynamo in the NFL, which for all 22 purposes is what a user is looking for, so because of all those little things. So yeah, I think the word is safe. He's just a very safe player, I think. Whether he's more than that, we'll see, but I think he's safe. And I think you won't regret drafting him. It's a single. You're going to hit a single at least. You're going to get on base.
Yes. And it is.
Please don't tell me you're still looking for that TCU wide receiver.
Yeah, it's going to drive me absolutely insane. And I mean, I guess another example a little bit, I think the experience level is different, but Paris Campbell's probably similar in my mind as like a guy that was like, oh, I think he's going to be really good. And like,
you did?
Just, yeah, I did. I liked Paris Campbell. Not like to this level, not as much as I like Igbuka, but it's still like those concerns. Dude, who are the bus I drafted like 4 years in a row? You said Harry. Ruggs was one of them.
Oh, you said but there was the Baylor kid, the big Baylor kid who went to the Jets. You didn't like him, but I think you took him anyway or something. It was one of those deals. This is not great podcasting.
Denzel Mims. Denzel Mims was not my guy. I did not like Denzel Mims. I was very against Denzel Mims. But okay, you're right. It's terrible podcasting. Let's move on. My number four, you're going to disagree with, but I have Matthew Golden at number four.
Oh my gosh.
So Matthew Golden, and honestly, I think him and Igbuka are the same tier. I actually had them both in the same tier as like that next tier besides the guys that I have above. And I think they could be switched. There's a chance that I'll watch them again and switch them and have Igbuka above Golden. But those two guys in my mind are in the same tier. 21 years old, out of Texas, 5'11", 191 pounds, 1,795 career snaps, 74 offensive grade, had 1,990 career yards and 22 touchdowns. Don't get me wrong, I liked him. Really nice receiver with body control. He's actually a good route runner, even though he doesn't run the full route tree. He's good at what he does. He's fun to watch. Really nice hands and big catchability is all there. Like you said, he's so fast that he takes the top off and gets PI all the time. Teams are going to love that. So two things that really concern me, or I guess three, and this is a kind of a big part of the conversation. The guys I had above him are all guys that I said, there's something elite about their game that I think is actually like they're difference makers at the next level. But when I watch Golden's film, speed is really the only thing that like made him truly different. I didn't think anything else in his game was like, wow, that's going to be so, so special at the next level. So it held me back from including him in that tier of like, these are the top dogs, right? It's good. It's good, right? It's a guy that I think pick 20 to 40 teams are going to eat up, but like, it's not a guy that I would say have any comfort in a team early drafting, because again, I just don't think the experience is there. The route tree is not there where you're just so comfortable taking them. There's too much risk. And it doesn't mean that he's not going to end up being, I've heard Stephon Diggs, right? He's got that kind of mold to him. Doesn't mean he's not going to become that, but correct me if I'm wrong, I think Diggs was picked really late too. So it's not something I could just bet on. It's wide receiver brain. Okay. So, but tell me where you have Golden and why you like him so much.
All right. I got Golden at two. And so you mentioned Stephon Diggs. I see more of, and I feel like this name would hold more weight if, or I have, excuse me. I have that's the name I was missing from my list. Thank you very much. I have him at three. I have Matthew Golden at three. And the name that sticks out to me with Matthew Golden when I watch was Will Fuller. I think Will Fuller kind of climbed the ladder a bit better than him. But if Will Fuller could stay healthy, me comparing to someone to Will Fuller would mean a lot. And I think he could have that type of impact where it seemed like every game he had at least one really explosive big play that could have changed the outcome of that game, or at least really changed the complexion of the entire game. That's Matthew Golden pretty much every single week. I could see him doing that at least once. And he has the, again, just that's not something that he just runs a deep route and then just kind of runs back to the sideline and he's that one dimensional. It's just more so it's his home run. That's his specialty. That's his secret weapon, but it's not all he does. He has pretty good hands. Yes, I showed the drop in traffic there, and that was more so a result of the nuance that he needs to develop in his game to make things easier for him in traffic, as opposed to just not having good hands per se. But he's got the speed. He's got the quickness. He goes up and gets the ball when he has to go up and get the ball. And he has the ability to change speeds in his routes, which to me is the only thing I could come up with why people were shocked that he ran so damn fast at the combine, is because they weren't picking up that this guy was changing speeds in the middle of his route and not just going full bore. It's the only thing I could think of. But that's a nice tool to have in your tool belt. Just changing speeds, giving different looks, lulling them to sleep, leaning into defenders before making your breaks and cuts to just create that little bit of more separation. He has all that. Really, the nuance he lacks to me is just right at the start of a play in press. Once you give him the ability to get going, you're toast, because he knows what to do with it. It's not just him running straight and running past you. It's everything else in between to set you up to, you know, get flat-footed and then have him run by you. So to me, he's near complete as a receiver, not in the sense of he doesn't have much room to grow, but in the sense of there's a lot of aspects to his game that translate pretty well. And I think if there was, and you know, you could say it was a result of the injury or what have you, he had some better quarterback play throughout the year, I think that would be a much easier sentence to stomach than it is right now sitting here today.
Totally. And it's funny because that's what I was talking about as well, is like watching Texas play and the bad quarterback play from Quinn Ewers sometimes was very frustrating, right? Because these receivers are really good and he just missed a lot and made bad decisions. But I hear everything you're saying, and I just worry, like you mentioned Will Fuller, and I think he's a better route runner than Will Fuller is. So I don't think that's a great comp, but I get what you're saying. And it's like that's my concern. Like, what if he is willful? What if that is what he ends, like, he doesn't develop as a full route runner like Stephon Diggs did, right? What if he just becomes that Will Fuller type? I think that's why I still have him a bit lower than you. But the guy that you forgot, I'm assuming, and the guy I have at number three, I'm gonna get torn apart for, but I have Travis Hunter at number three on this list. I have Travis Hunter at number three on this list. Yeah, it's wild, right? So you all know who Travis Hunter is. I feel like I don't even need to say this, but I'm going to anyway. 21-year-old out of Colorado, 6'1", 185, 1,292 career offensive snaps at receiver, 86.3 offensive grade, 2,166 career yards and 24 touchdowns. Okay, I understand this is the most athletic freak that we've probably ever seen. He plays both defense and offense, corner, receiver. He's our number one, both of our number one corner in this class. So me saying he's the number three receiver is not a knock on him. I understand how good he is. I just, like, the biggest thing is I ultimately think he's going to play corner, and it's honestly not a conversation that we have about him at receiver. But again, probably the best hands at a cornerback that we've ever seen. So at receiver, his hands are insane. They're still insane. They look incredible. He plucks balls out of the air. He has a monster catch radius, and he's a monster at the catch point, right? Can go up and get it, gets hit, gets bodied. I still worry about the injury stuff. I really, really do. I think he's a little small, and he gets hit a lot, and he opens himself up to some brutal, brutal shots. And if he ends up playing receiver, that's my biggest concern with him. He wins so many 50-50 balls. I think he's got great wiggle. I talked about it, right? A lot of these receivers are lacking that little bit of wiggle, that little bit of bend. He's got all of that, which is what the best receivers in the NFL have, right? He has those things. I think he also does a really nice job of finding space. but he's also very, very raw as a receiver because it wasn't his focus. So that is why I have him at three. I think if he was only a receiver and we just got to see Travis Hunter play receiver, he would easily be the number one receiver in this class. But because he didn't, there's not a lot of nuance, right? He's just being an athletic freak. He's just super athletic and outrunning and out juking people. He has all of that to his game. But he's so raw. He's so raw. And those hits that he takes big. It's going to take time, right? And what if he just is too small and takes too many big hits and he doesn't last at that position? Those are real concerns that I have. Did you have him in your rankings? Is he not the guy that you forgot?
Yeah, no, he's number one. The guy I forgot was Golden. I was looking for him in the list. I was like, I know I have Golden like really high. Where the hell is Golden? So that I had to add him to the list. No, okay, Travis Hunter is one for me.
Okay, and
the
tell reason, me why.
The only concern I have is that he doesn't run routes. But that's because he was like moonlighting at the position. Like he can learn to run. If he focuses on wide receiver, then fine. He will learn to run routes. I think he's shown as a football player, he's fully capable. He can pick up the game because when you break him down, he has the feel for space. He has the feel for when to go up and get the ball. He has a feel for body positioning. He has a feel for everything football related. He has that innate sense, that football IQ, those instincts. He has all of that. The only thing is he's not a route runner because he's busy locking down the wide receivers on the practice field before kind of turning around and getting like maybe six reps the entire practice with the first team on offense because he's busy doing the same thing on defense. So to me, that's the only thing. If he were to hone in on this stuff, he's number one.
Yes.
He's number one.
Yes, I agree. I agree with everything you said. No, because I don't think he plays receiver. And I don't think it's what's best for him. And I want him to play corner.
So you said something, by the way, we might not get this out the day we recorded just based on timing. Today, it was said he ran routes at the Colorado Pro Day, just FYI.
Oh, he did.
Something that came out earlier today, he was running
routes. Because he's a great teammate, too. He's a phenomenal teammate and was there for Shador.
Don't gas him up now.
Because I do. I love this kid. I do. I love this kid. I just don't want him to play receiver. I want him to play corner because I think we have the potential to see, besides maybe Deion, the best corner of all time, like we're watching that prospect unleash himself, and I want to see that. But as a receiver, I see a guy that could be one of the top receivers in the NFL today, but also could get injured playing receiver because he's kind of slight. And also, like, if he goes to the Giants or Browns to play receiver, it's like, who's throwing him the football? And that's frustrating. So that's where I am.
He won't be so slight if he's not playing 100 snaps a game. He's not burning like thousands of calories every day playing both ways on the practice field and playing both ways on Sunday. So
We'll see, dude.
Yeah, I think it's natural. He's going to grow up. He's going to get bigger. He's going to get stronger. I don't even know what number we're on now. So I have Hunter as one. You had him at three.
Yes. Right? Okay. So you need to give me your three.
Golden was my three. So do I give you my two?
Well, who's your four?
My four. Yes. Luther Burden was four for me.
Bingo. That's who you missed.
Some of the same. No, he's written down here. It's just, I had him at three because I didn't have Golden written down as three. So I had to look and be like, why is Burden so high? So Burden, I think some of those concerns about, I'm not sure he's a fantastic route runner. Like, he's athletic. He has good yak. He has good body control. He makes plays. I watched an athlete playing football, which to me, it's like, okay, but you are a full-time wide receiver. So why are you just an athlete playing football? Is it the offense? Kind of is. I feel like they just asked him to be an athlete playing football. So that could be part of it. But now I got to see if you can actually do it full-time and do all the little things right that you're going to have to do in the NFL in order to be successful down after down after down. I think that's part of why he has, you know, quote unquote, slipped as we sit here in early April in the draft as well. Whereas previously at the very start of this thing, people were thinking about him as like a top 12 type of selection, where now it's like late one, maybe early two. I'm thinking still late one for Burden, but I think that's why there's just some questions he has to answer. But when it comes to the movement and the ability to track the ball in the hand, he's got all that. He checks those boxes. It's just, can he go about this the right way, play after play, to get himself open?
Yes, he can. I have Luther Burden at number two, and I really was surprised at how much I liked his film, because this is not a receiver I typically like, not at all, right? Because I
Correct.
The Debo the Debo style receivers for me are not receivers I typically go after. I don't think this is a great class, right? Like, I think in terms of like all 22 era, if I kind of went through my rankings of guys, right? Like, I think I would have Travis Hunter obviously in there. I think I'd have Luther Burton in there, and then I'd have our number one guy we'll talk about. But like, I don't think I have any of them top five or six. Maybe I start talking about them 7 to 10. And that's, again, because I just didn't see Travis Hunter as a full-time receiver, and maybe that changes if we did. But Luther Burton, to me, in this class, is a special receiver, right? We're talking about a guy that's over 6 feet tall, over 200 pounds, but runs a 4.4, super fast, but he actually might be quicker than fast, right? He actually might be have more agility than just straight line speed. So that is special size and movement talent put together, right? I think he can be a major decoy in an offense, right? Just like Debo was. I think you can use this guy. And again, if you just design 3 to 5 plays a game where you're giving him the ball quickly, he has 50 yards off the bat just like that, because he's going to get 5 to 10 yards every single time. And that's not even considering the 3 plays a game where you're trying to get him to take the top off and you're going to throw him a deep ball, right? And then what if you can unlock some route running with him? What if you can teach him to run some of the route tree? I think he has the ability to do it, right? And we're talking about a guy that I actually went back and watched some of his 2023 tape, because this is a guy that had 1,200 yards as a true sophomore at like 19 years old. And that's special, right? When you talk about guys that break out early and break out as 19-year-olds with huge seasons, they typically do really well in the NFL. So a lot of things to like. Can be a burner, can just be a speed guy if you really just need him to be that. But I thought his skills after the catch as well were phenomenal, right? Some of the best that we've seen. And don't get it mistaken. Like, who's the guy a few years ago that the Panthers had that was kind of in that same mold and everybody loved him?
I hate when you put me in the spot. Yeah, yeah. Big dude. He's bigger, Dreads. Though. He was bigger. Yeah, bigger. Dreads, bigger. PFF compared him to Saquon Barkley.
Yes. And everyone was like, what yes. the heck? Burton yeah. is so much better than that dude. Like, as a receiver, he is so much better. And I also thought, like, this is a guy that's going to be really hard to bring down, really strong, right? But negatives, you said it, right? Is he just a decoy? Will he ever develop the route tree? Can he be more than just deep balls and screens and quick game? I'm going to say yes. I'm going to take a chance on this guy in this draft class. I think this is a top 20 pick. In most draft classes, I'd say he's the end of the first round type of guy that you can get and just feel comfortable that, like, hey, I just got a really awesome receiver. But again, I was saying the top 3 for me of Hunter, Burton, and our number one all have some game changing aspect, difference making aspect. And Burton has that to me. So that makes him special and has him at number 2.
Laviska Shenault is the name we were thinking of.
Laviska Shenault. Thank you.
Yeah. So it sounds better. Like we have the same. Well, no, we don't have the same number one because I have Hunter at number one. So you're one, my two. If I consider Hunter a corner, which primarily I do believe he's a corner, but just for the purpose of this exercise, I'm looking at him as a receiver. So that's why I have Hunter at one. But my two, year one, Teteroa McMillan. I mean, I don't understand why he's slipped seemingly in this process, where he went from possibly being the Patriots pick at number 4 to now it's like the highest he might go is the Cowboys at 12. And I'm sitting here scratching my head because I can't figure it out. I just can't figure it out, because he's big. He plays fast. He has good hands. He's yak guy, like, as a big receiver. I have no idea why people are knocking him. He doesn't seem to have character concerns. Okay, it doesn't make a difference to me what his 40 is. I put on the tape and he's running past people downfield while also being able to go up and get the football. So he's a true downfield threat, even if he's not a speedster, while giving you all the benefits of a big receiver in the short and intermediate game and winning better than other big receivers in comparison. Yeah, there's a clear difference when you watch him versus someone like Higgins versus Savion Williams and other big-bodied receivers. Ted is just different. Is he Mike Evans? Probably not. That's probably a bit too optimistic. But he's not Dorial Green Beckham or you know, insert whichever the big Mike Williams, not the one from USC, but like the other one might have played for the Bucks or something. Like no, he's way better than that. I don't understand it. This is a damn good football player. I don't understand how he's not, in this class in particular, a clear top 10 pick. I don't get it. And maybe he ends up in the top 10, but the fact that he's not consensus, I don't understand it.
Yeah, so Tet McMillan out of Arizona, Tetaroa McMillan, 22 years old, 6'4", 219 pounds, 2,200 career snaps over that, actually. The combine, Ray said, it ran in the low 4.5s, we believe. I have 4.48 written down.
Pro day, but yeah, so that's why the times are different. Yeah,
he ran the combine. Got it. Okay. So grading-wise, 84.8 offensive grade, over 1,300 yards in back-to-back season with 26 career touchdowns. So we're talking about an uber-productive player, right? Uber-productive. Really good at finding space, will always continue his routes, right? Quarterback's best friend. When the play breaks down, he's still running and trying to get open. Very sure-handed. His size is obviously a huge plus. The catch radius is insane. You showed the Travis Hunter catch, right? Like where he puts his hand up and gets the ball. Like, that's an insane advantage to have as a receiver in the NFL. And I honestly thought, like, your point, right? When I watched the film, the speed is good. Like, the speed is legitimately good. It is much better than what I had expected for a guy his size. I do think that there are a couple knocks on him that we didn't talk about. I think he struggles a bit against stronger, more aggressive corners, which at the NFL he will face more of. And I don't think he's always perfect at breaking free of hands when people are trying to press him. So things to watch, right? At the NFL level, that'll happen a lot more. Guys are a lot stronger, a lot bigger. Is it a concern? Yes. Is it a concern that takes him out of the top 10 for me? Absolutely not. I think you're 100% right. If I'm the Patriots at 4 with this offensive line class, my pick is Tet McMillan, right? And I think that's what I would do. I'm not saying that's what they would do. I don't think it is. I think they're going to go offensive line. But it's like when I talk again about the All-22 era and I talk about the guys that we've reviewed, unfortunately, I don't think Drake London or Michael Pittman were in there. I think they were just before. But I would have Tet McMillan over both of those guys in terms of like those bigger bodied possession type receivers. I think Tet McMillan is better than both of them. And in terms of All-22 era, I don't think he's a Marvin Harrison or a Jamar Chase or a Malik Nabers. I don't think he's that type of prospect. I don't think he's even Devonta Smith or Jerry Jeudy, probably not even CeeDee Lamb. But that is kind of that elite tier. And then right after that is where it starts to get a little bit murky, right? Where we have guys like Jordan Addison, Roma Dunze, Jalen Waddle. And I just remembered the name of the other guy that I was trying to remember before, Justin Jefferson, right? So like I had Justin Jefferson
wasn't the name.
No. But as a prospect, I did have him a little bit lower because obviously the NFL did too. He wasn't picked until the 20s. But like I would have Tet McMillan as a pure prospect above all of those guys, right? So like right after that CeeDee Lamb tier, right before the Jordan Addisons of the world, I have a Tet McMillan, and I think you're really happy about getting what will be a very, very reliable receiver that can do a lot, right? And the name of the guy is Jalen Reagor.
Oh my gosh. I was hoping that wouldn't be the name. Like I didn't even bring him up because like that can't be the name. You drafted Jalen Reagor.
I did.
Oh my gosh, you deserve laughter.
Because it was right after that Terry McLaurin just took off, and I was like, oh, Terry McLaurin's awesome. And he wasn't bendy. And then it's like, oh, not everybody built like that. He's going to play like that.
Yeah, you're going to take someone like shorter than that, but also not bendy and think that's going to work.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Oh, gosh.
But that right. Jalen Reagor is my Emeka Egbuka fear, which I think Egbuka is a lot better, but it is my fear.
He's a lot better. I feel so much better that that's the name you threw out because it's so out there that I don't have a concern that he would be anywhere close to that bad.
Good. Good to hear.
Yeah. So that's good news. That's yeah.
So where are you picking Tet McMillan in an All-22 draft?
I'll take him mid to late first. I mean, he doesn't get the elite tag, but no. Of those that don't, I'm not sure there's many above him. Mason Graham. I mean, depending on need, I'll take a Kenny Grant first because I love Kenny Grant. I'm a big fan of that. But outside of that, once you get past the obvious Abdul Carter, Travis Hunter, Mason Graham, who again, if he doesn't have the elite tag, Mason Graham, I mean, who?
And the quarterbacks. Yep.
Yeah, quarterbacks if it's a need, right? I'm assuming I don't need a quarterback because I'm probably picking one or two at that point. And I'm not obviously going to take Ted at that point. So if I don't need a quarterback and the no-brainer position players, them being Carter and Hunter, are gone, it's just a matter of, Mason Graham, I probably put above him. Maybe Kenny Grant. Who the hell am I missing? Not one of these other edge guys. I wouldn't put any of the edges above him. Maybe, I mean, Tyler Warren's more of a sure thing, but once you get into positional value,
That's where I was
going
to go.
Going with the receiver?
So that's where I was going to go. I think there's two other players that I consider, but the positional value is what separates, right? Tet McMillan being a receiver and being as good as he is with the positional value really makes it hard not to pick him. But I think Tyler Warren, for as good as I think he is going to be, probably my number one tight end of the All-22 era, just putting that out there. It's tough, right? Do I want the really special talent? And the other guy I was going to say is Jahad Campbell. I also have an elite tag on, who I think is a really high-end player. But again, it's like the positional value and also the kind of like the banged up and the hit and miss of linebacker and how long it takes him to develop. It's like Tet McMillan, I know, is going to be a good thing. So I'm probably also going Tet McMillan over those guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, really looking forward to our big board episode, by the way.
Yeah.
We're almost there. Two weeks away.
Yep. Yeah, I can't wait. But no, Ted is being slept on, and I can't figure out why. I can't.
All right. Well, hopefully the people at home appreciated the review we did today. An hour and a half. That was a really good one, though. I feel like we got a lot in there. But everybody, just thank you so much for tuning in. Again, go to the App Store, download the app today. Go play All-22. It's the most fun game. You're thinking like a GM. You're doing what Ray and I are doing on the show, and you're applying it to your own team just like the NFL does. Super fun to do. So go to the App Store, go to all-22.com, however you want to play. But also like and subscribe, right? Wherever you're watching or listening to your podcast, like and subscribe. It helps us. It helps us make more of these videos. We hope you can do that, and have a great rest of your day.